TOR stands for the onion router, and that's because an onion is wrapped in layers of skin, and the idea is there are lots of layers involved in TOR as well. It's a peer-to-peer network, which means there's no central place managing the data. So it's not like you can go along and say, I'm taking all the information off that server. And the way it works is lots of people volunteer part to use part of their computers as a relay point, as a transmission node for the information to be passed on to the next one. As I said, there's no central control. And again, from an investigative perspective, it can be used to access the dark net. It wasn't originally designed to do that. It was originally designed by the US Navy, and the idea was that it was going to provide a safe place for their agents and dissidents to exchange information without being caught. One thing to remember is that all websites end with .onion, so the top level domain for the onion router is .onion. The other thing you'll notice is the websites tend to have gobbledygook. So whereas on the World Wide Web, websites have names that are easy to remember, you can't remember them on the TOR. But of course, the main characteristics, it's all encrypted, and it's encrypted in a particular way. And let me explain that to you. If you think over there on your right of your screen, you've got the U, and down the bottom left of your screen, you've got the website server you're trying to communicate with. And as I explained, the internet, which is a network of networks, lots of different computers all around the world, and people volunteer parts of their hard drive to be used for the TOR network. And the information is encrypted. It arrives at the first hub, which is chosen at random, with 3 degrees of encryption. At the second, one of those degrees of encryption is unwrapped, so it's now 2. And then the last, it's just 1. And then that last step is in clear text. So a minimum of 3 nodes it passes through, which are chosen at random. And as you can see, it means that you are completely isolated from the destination address. But more importantly, the destination address has no idea where you are, because they might be able to ask the first person, but there are 3 degrees at least between you and the website server. And the people who have volunteered their information to act as relays or hubs, they can't see what information it is either, because it's been encrypted. So the TOR is used a lot for the darknet. And what is the darknet? Well, the darknet operates very much like the World Wide Web. It offers all sorts of merchandise and things that you can access. The Torch there is one of the search engines, well-known search engines, and they have financial activities. They have all sorts of different things that you can access. They even have customer satisfaction surveys, and information that when you buy for something, it's often kept in escrow until you get the product that you've applied for. But there are a lot of criminals using it, and there might even be a few undercover law enforcement officers at the same time. Now, I don't want to give the impression that the darknet is totally about crime, although we think so in our popular imagination. There are also people, as I said before, whistleblowers and dissidents who are using it for legitimate purposes. And it's also, we shouldn't forget, that the World Wide Web itself is also used a lot for crime. It's not just the darknet. And here's a couple of ways you can access the darknet through your normal browser. I don't recommend doing this, I just wanted to include it to show you that this is the case. If you append onion.ws or onion.to in your normal browser, you will be able to access the darknet. If you know where you're going, of course, you've got to know what the website address you're looking for is. But as these websites say, it's only protecting the publisher, not you as a reader. So if you're going to have a look at the darknet, and there's nothing illegal about looking at it, just be careful what you do there. Don't click on anything. Don't give any details away. Don't sign up for anything. But installing the Tor browser is the safer way to do it. And I would even say the Tor browser plus a VPN. So we're getting to the end now, and quickly let's have a look at what the internet is as by way of conclusion. So it consists of the World Wide Web and the Deep Web, and in the Deep Web there's the darknet. You can find information about old or discontinued websites or things that have been changed through the Wayback Machine. IP addresses are a good place to start if you are trying to track someone down, but the IP address can be faked or borrowed or hidden. Remember, they're dynamic or static as well, so if you're looking for a dynamic one, you have to be very careful about the timings. Once you find a network, you then have to try and find an individual device on it, and it's one thing if it's in a household, but if it's in a bigger network, you're probably going to want to look at the MAC address or the MA number on a phone. IoT devices very often don't have any security and are vulnerable to attack. You can get into the darknet very easily, and I've shown you the way to do it, but do be careful you're going to do such a thing. It operates very much like the World Wide Web, where services and products are on sale. But it's also a way of legitimate, confidential communication taking place. So, thank you for coming and joining me to have a look at the internet anatomy. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been brief, it's been superficial, and there's a lot more to learn about it. And I would encourage you to have a look at further aspects of the internet, because we take it for granted. We accept it's there, but very few of us actually understand what's going on. And by way of seeing how much you've remembered, it's a quick quiz. What does the S in HTTPS stand for? What are the different versions of IP address in use? On what kind of device would you find an IMEI number? What's the top level domain used for the darknet? Simple questions, aren't they? So the S in HTTPS stands for secure. The different versions of IP address in use, you get IP version 4 and IP version 6. Where are you likely to find an IMEI number? Well, you'll find it on your phone, or you can find that by keying in that sequence at the bottom there. And what is the top level domain for the darknet? Remember the Tor, and remember it's an onion. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for your time.